Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the story that we have heard, that we are a part of. And we pray that in it we may find the spirit of your Son, your Spirit, and know that it is the truth and have the will and the courage to follow it. This we pray in your Son's name. Amen. The treasurer came into the pastor's office on Monday with the bad news that collections were down the third week in a row. "I don't know what's happening," said the pastor. "What are we going to do about this?" "Well, if I could make a suggestion," replied the treasurer, "it might help if when you get to the end of your sermon, you didn't say, 'But then again, what do I know?'" You know, when it comes to expressing what we believe, we might feel a lot like the pastor. "But then again, what do I know?" But if we look at the passage from Acts today, I think we begin to get a different picture. And one that's more closely aligned with what God through Jesus expects of us. In fact, Peter takes us by surprise today. The last we heard anything of Peter, he didn't get it all. He didn't understand why Jesus was washing the disciples' feet and said, "You're not going to wash mine." He denied Jesus 3 times in the courtyard of the priest. He fled from the cross. He didn't stay around. But here, in our passage that everyone read, he is speaking with such authority in what could be construed as the lion's den in Jerusalem, the temple, to the court of priests, telling them that the man that they had killed was the only one who could save them. And so today I want to talk about the importance of knowing our story. And I want to start with Peter because he knows his story. What I mean by that is that he knows that it was not he who healed this man, but it was Jesus working through him. And this is what gave him the courage to stand up before his enemies, or as the writer of the 23rd Psalm said, to have a table prepared for him in the presence of his enemies. And when we wonder, where did this newfound energy and courage come from? I believe it came from waiting in the upper room for the Spirit. Remember, Jesus told them to wait until the Spirit came upon them before Jesus returned to wherever Jesus went to. And what would the disciples have been doing while they were waiting? And my hunch is they were remembering. They were telling the stories, rehashing the stories. This time, or that time, after Jesus left before the coming of the Spirit and the church began to move out from Jerusalem, that time was the first opportunity that they had after the death and resurrection of Jesus to look back over their experience of Jesus, pre- and post-resurrection, and to begin to make some sense out of what happened. Perhaps what we could call the coming of the Spirit was really a eureka moment for them when it all began to make sense to them. To know our history and to be connected with it is a very powerful, as I mentioned 15 years ago to my class in developing our story, is a very powerful way to help us to connect events and people in our lives. But it also has the power to transform us. It has a way of helping us to feel connected, to feel grounded. I remember a number of years ago, one evening, I was sitting at my computer in my office, when I received an email from a Mike Peters asking me if my middle name was Tucker. For those of you that don't, my middle name is Tucker. And as it turns out, Mike was the youngest son of my dad's only biological sibling. And I had not seen Mike since I was knee-high to a grasshopper. In fact, my brother and I had not had any contact with that side of the family for decades. And out of the blue, I received this email. And then I wrote back to him and said, yes, I am. And he sent a second email telling me how he had found me. And I felt tears because it felt as if I had regained a whole part of my story that had been missing. My life. A connection had been made that was an important part of my family's life and my life. You see, the danger today is that we go through life participating in various events and we meet various people and get to know them. And afterwards, they just kind of lie behind us like dust. The dust of our lives. They are all disconnected from each other and form kind of a chronological trail that makes no sense to us because we just leave them there. Like parts falling off an old car as it's rattling down the street. And yet, those disconnected pieces have great power if we can take them and connect them to each other and to us in a way that informs our lives. But in order to do that, we have to pick them up. We have to look at them. We have to try to make the connections. It's like putting the pieces of a jigsaw puzzle together. By themselves, they are useless. But when they're all together, they form a picture. And I think that's what the psalmist was trying to encourage when he or she wrote, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. It's the psalmist's way of saying, stop. Take time to reflect. Sift through the pieces of your life and know that God is in them. So many times I have people that don't feel that God is a part of their life. When I did my doctorate in ministry project, 15 years ago. In the evaluation, I had one person say in big letters, I didn't know I had a faith. And she did. She discovered when she began to connect the pieces of her life. She found God. It's quite possible that the reason that people do not take time to look for God is because we just don't want to take that time to sit and reflect. We keep looking ahead. We keep trusting and expecting God to be there. But we forget to look back and see, oh, God was there. And I see God now. And we're all guilty. I'm guilty of this. We need to rest in green pastures. We need to walk by still waters. We need to be restored, reconnected. I remember I had the opportunity a number of years ago to reconnect with two of my closest friends in high school for the first time in about 20 years. And Malcolm and Sabrina are brother and sister, and they were born exactly 1 year apart. Lived across the street from me. And we were all heavily involved in music in high school. Sabrina and I practiced together for drum major tryouts. She got one of the three positions. I didn't. Malcolm and I, besides music, we had a lot of fun playing basketball together. He won most of the games. But to see the two of them again, as well as their parents at a rest area on the New Jersey Turnpike one evening, reminded me of the blessings of those days, of the fun and the joy that we had, maybe when life was a little less complex. And it was through friends like them that God touched me gave me the strength to not only get through high school, but to have fun, to enjoy it. To reconnect with people and to go back is to recognize what they gave us and what was given to us through them. But we can't know that unless we spend some time in quiet meadows and beside calm waters. And it's not just true of our own personal lives. It's true of a church as well. Next week, we'll celebrate Archive Sunday. And we've had a number of people bringing our history books up to date, going through things. And those will all be out on tables. And during coffee hour, we will have the opportunity to look, to learn, to recall, and for a lot of us to retell stories to others who maybe haven't heard them. We call people and events in the life of a church. People and events that form the church's story. And since you and I are a part of a church, it's our story as well. And I urge you to stay and be a part of that next week. And to have fun with it. Tell the things, stories that you remember. And how certain people that are or are not any longer in touch with the church. Because they've died. And it has been said many times that we live in a throwaway society. Garbage, appliances, marriages. If you think of it, we go through life spending time in pastures, without spending time in pastures and by still streams, we're throwing away our lives as well, or our faith. And we can't afford to do that. The price is more than we can afford. One of the legacies of my mother was that she was the one who always encouraged me to remember. She was the one who always wanted me to remember my roots, to know where I came from, and to be proud of it. We went to every family reunion every year. And both my mother's, part of my mother's side of the family and my dad's side of the family, we had reunions every year. Not that Dad didn't care about it. It was just that Mom did it most. And it's because of this that I think she was the stronger one of the two, emotionally, spiritually, and physically. Consider spending time in your past. Look at the pieces of your life that have been laying around. People that you've been touched by. Pick them up and try to bring things together. Try to make sense of them. What has God said to you through that? In those times? Where has God led you? How has God touched you? If you need help picking up the pieces, talk to me. Like I said, that's what my Doctor of Ministry project was all about. I can help you. Our lives have so much to offer. And I think it's an insult to say, but then again, what do I know? We know a lot. We just have to look at it and think about it. May each of you and I know the blessings that God has given to us. Amen.